Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, 1 through 8 for the first part, and then skipping on to 18 through 23, the parable of the sower and the seed. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So ends our reading. Please be seated.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how many of you have ever been misunderstood? Okay, never mind. How many of you have never been misunderstood? Well, no one's raising their hands for that one, right? Does everybody always get you, understand you? Well, no, that's just not the world we live in, right? It's a safe bet, I think, that everyone here has been misunderstood somehow in certain ways at different times in life and for different kinds of reasons. Maybe you gave directions for somebody. You're going to meet at a restaurant, let's say, and you give them directions that you think are simple and crystal clear. You even gave them that magic phrase, "You can't miss it." But they missed it. Well, you said go west. No, I said go east. Who knows? Or in the restaurant, you make your order, get the salad with your dinner, and the waiter wants to know what kind of dressing you want. I'll have French dressing, and they come back and it's ranch dressing. You tell them, "I would like the French dressing, please." They glare at you like, "Don't you know what you're doing?" You know, all kinds of little things like that. Sometimes maybe you've been accused of saying something that was a little bit cold or mean. You emailed somebody or you texted somebody, and in your mind, when you read it to yourself, it was kind of lighthearted, but they took it as being sort of insulting and offensive, and you can understand why they would even think that, but now they don't want to talk to you anymore. Well, sometimes our misunderstandings are willful. We just don't want to give another person the benefit of the doubt. We just kind of already have our agenda set. Sometimes our misunderstandings are just because what somebody says is so new or it's so different. It's challenging to us. And we maybe we push back against it. We just don't want to accept something that they're trying to tell us. And that's the kind of misunderstanding that happened to Jesus a lot. So often Jesus got misunderstood, not because his words were not clear, he wasn't mumbling or stuttering, but because the things that he said, The things that he taught people were different, were new, like nothing they had ever heard before. You know that in the Bible they commented like that more than one time. And so that's why during these Sundays now in March, today and the next four Sundays as well, we're going to take a look at some of those things that Jesus said and taught, and especially parables that he shared, which often got misunderstood. They were often misunderstood in Jesus' day, and sometimes they still get misunderstood in our day. And yet, as we take that beautiful teaching that Jesus gives us, this beautiful gem, as we turn it in the light of his Spirit, it begins to sparkle new and fresh. Jesus was misunderstood sometimes by those who wanted to misunderstand him. Some of his enemies, the scribes or Pharisees, who would twist his words. How can you call us slaves? We've never been slaves of anybody. And he has to explain to them, anybody who sins is a slave to sin. Others who wanted to try to understand but just weren't getting it. Nicodemus, the smartest, well, second after Jesus, smartest, wisest man in all of Israel. How can a man go into his mother's womb and be born again? And even his own disciples. You know, he would say things, some of the things that we find that they misunderstood, we think are pretty simple. You know, in John chapter 10, Jesus tells them about how he's like a good shepherd. He calls his sheep know his voice and they follow me. It's beautiful, it's easy, right? But then it says right there, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So it's probably not surprising that when, at different times, Jesus would tell his followers that he had to go to Jerusalem. And when he got to Jerusalem, he wasn't going to take over. He wasn't going to start an uprising. He was actually going to get arrested. And they were going to crucify him. He would die. And 3 days later, he would rise again. And it says they did not understand what he meant. But thankfully, where they initially misunderstood and just did not get it, God would eventually give them clear understanding. On Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus rides into Jerusalem, a few days later to be crucified, on Palm Sunday, John's gospel tells us, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. Later that same week, Maundy Thursday, we call it. They're in the upper room. Jesus is with his disciples, sharing a final meal with them. But before they eat, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And when he gets to Peter, Peter balks. He doesn't think this is right. He misunderstands what it's about. And so Jesus says to Peter, what I'm doing, you do not understand now. But afterwards, you will understand. He was misunderstood a lot. Whether by his friends, by his enemies, by his family. And the thing is, if people misunderstood Jesus, it meant they misunderstood his mission. And if you misunderstand Jesus' mission, you misunderstand your own mission. So the ripple effect is very important here. Now, I'm sure none of this surprised Jesus. In fact, it's very much what Jesus is talking about in the reading that we heard today in Matthew 13. He's basically prophesying in telling this parable, the parable of the sower and the seeds. You heard how it went. There's a guy who goes out, he starts throwing seed around willy-nilly because that's his job. He is a sower. He's sowing seed. Some of the seed falls on some hard path. Birds quickly swoop down and gobble up those seeds. Some of the seed falls into rocky ground. It's protected from the birds, but there's not much soil there, so it sprouts, but it quickly then dies again. Some of the seed ends up in places where there's competition for the water and for the sunshine, and it grows up among weeds and thorns, and those other plants simply overpower these poor little sprouts, and they can't survive in those conditions. But some of the seed falls on good soil. It gets plenty of water, plenty of sunshine. It's healthy. It's not hard, not craggy, not weedy, any of those things. It's just good, healthy soil. It sprouts and survives. And maybe most important of all, it produces a harvest. a harvest that far exceeds the amount of seed that was spent. And then Jesus explains that the soil is like the range of responses that people have. Kathy was talking about this. The range of responses that people have from hearing God's word. Sometimes people hear God's word and they just don't get it. Just don't get it. It never takes root at all. Sometimes people have an initial excitement about hearing something in God's word, but it very quickly just fades away again. Other times the word starts to take root. It starts to grow, but the pressures of the world, the anxieties of life overpower their faith. And of course, some thrives and does well, really well. But now here is a place where it's easy to misunderstand. This is where lots of times people will apply this parable in a way that's not bad, but it's not going where Jesus is going. Sometimes what we do, and perhaps while you were listening, you were doing this too, and I will do it as well, is like analyze myself, you know? Hard path and rocky soil and weeds, and which one am I? I better not be any of those bad soils. I better be good soil. And as we're hearing that parable, you probably were seeing how you could be any of those. And that really, you know, it's not quite as simple as to say it's just one or the other or the other or the other. Because maybe looking back at life, you realize that there have been times when you were being very hard-hearted. And God's word just sort of bounced off of you like seeds off of the pavement. And maybe you can think back to other times in life, other times when you learned something from God's word and it was just a light bulb going off and you go, aha, that's amazing, that is so insightful, this is going to change my life. And it did for a few hours or a couple days or something like this. But then you were right back to your same old routines and it really didn't have any lasting impact on you at all. And you can probably think of times in life where you were just going through life and your faith was great and your relationship with God was wonderful. And you wondered how it was even possible for anybody not to enjoy following Jesus. How was it possible for someone to not believe, to be excited about their Savior? But then life happened. Life happened. There were health problems that came up. There were financial issues. There were family situations. And like weeds, the pressures and anxieties of life just began to build and build, take more of your time, more of your energy, till you got to the point where you were just wondering even where God was anymore. So it's probably a little oversimplistic to say, okay, after careful analysis, I've determined that I tend to be rocky soil. You're that weedy soil, because we see ourselves in any of those lots of different times. So what am I saying that Jesus told a stupid parable? He should just take this back. No, of course not. But if the sole purpose, if the only purpose, and it can't have this kind of good result to it, but if the only result is there's some sort of self-analysis, well, I'm not sure it's a good parable then, because we would end up in one of two directions. Either we would find ourselves kind of getting smug with self-righteousness, you know, wow, look at me, aren't I such good soil? You know, kind of like the Pharisees that Jesus had to always contend with in their self-righteousness too. Or the other end of the spectrum, we would become despondent with all kinds of self-loathing. I am such terrible soil. Why can't I be better soil? Why are these weeds coming up? Why are the rocky ground in here? Why is my faith so fragile and things like that? But Jesus didn't intend that to be the main point of this teaching. So it's important to understand what he is saying here and why he's saying it. Not because I happen to be just any better, smarter than anybody else, but because Jesus tells us what his point is. It isn't simply self-analysis of ourselves or other people. It can be hard for us not to do that because we live in that kind of world. We like to organize and to grade and to evaluate and create slots and fit ourselves and other people into them. But what is Jesus really getting at? Well, the first clue, and really the only clue we need, is what Jesus himself calls the parable. You know, we have names for all the parables that Jesus taught, don't we? I mean, there's the parable of the prodigal son. There's the parable of the good Samaritan. Jesus didn't name them. We've given them those names down over the years. Jesus never named any parables except for this one. And what does Jesus call the parable? Well, you heard how the reading went, how it's kind of like in two chunks. The first chunk of verses, Jesus is with a big crowd. You know, he's telling them this parable about the guy throwing the seeds around. And then there's a break there because then he comes back later. He's with just the disciples alone. He explains the parable to them. And his explanation starts like this. It was verse 18. He says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. He doesn't say, listen to what the parable of the dirt means. Listen to what the parable of the seeds means. Listen to what the parable of the birds. Those are a part of it, but the main thrust is the sower. See? The intention is that we use this to understand Jesus, to understand his mission, and by extension, to understand our mission. It's about Jesus coming into our world and sharing God's love and forgiveness and redemption, which he himself will accomplish perfectly at the cross, dying there, rising again 3 days later. It's about Jesus reaching into the hearts of human beings anywhere and everywhere, planting a seed that has the potential to grow into something wonderful and bear fruit for his name. But he knows not everyone is going to accept him. He knows not everybody is going to respond the same way. Not everyone is going to sprout and bear fruit. And yet, despite that, how does the sower sow? Recklessly, extravagantly, with abandon, you might even say. He's not really concerned about plowing perfectly straight rows. He's not concerned about having just one seed every 6 inches because the back of the seed packet says that's how you have to do it. He knows that it's not all going to sprout and germinate, but that's not going to keep him from doing his job. And his job, the job of the sower, is flinging seed. Flinging seed as much as he can, everywhere he can, not holding back in the least. So as Jesus explains the parable to his disciples, he's not saying to them, you'd better get with it, you better get that soil going. He wants them to understand how it will be for them. That their role as his followers, their role, and by extension, the role of the church even today, so our role is to be just as reckless, just as extravagant in sowing seeds of the gospel. For many of us, myself included, being reckless, extravagant doesn't quite come naturally. It's not part of what I tend to be. I mean, if you're like me, you usually prefer things that are orderly, that are systematic, that are well planned, that are thought through. We want to be careful. We don't like surprises. But the thing that I have to admit when I read God's word, that God does not reveal himself to us as a God who is careful. Quite the opposite. Jesus describes himself as a sower who is reckless. He depicts himself flinging seeds far and wide, hardly giving a second thought to where they land. Not that he is uncaring, not that he doesn't care what happens to the seeds that he sows, but he wants the harvest to be as full as possible, which is exactly why he sows as many seeds as possible. That's why I suppose, you know, this is how Jesus lived and went about his ministry. He didn't restrict himself just to the, you know, the religious churchy people in Jerusalem. No, he ate with tax collectors, and he took presents from prostitutes, and he touched with his own hands, touched unclean lepers, and spoke with those ill-bred Samaritans, you know? And as he taught so many times, like he taught about people who were praised exactly for taking risks. You know, the servants who invested their master's gold, not knowing if they'd get a return or not, but they did, as opposed to the one servant who was chastised just for burying it, not taking any risk at all. And you see the implication then, don't you? The implication for us with all of this is, now you, church, you go and do likewise. Following Jesus means sowing seeds like Jesus. We're not asked to prejudge the soil, to sort of make some sort of determination. Well, the gospel has a good chance here, but not really over there, so we'll do this here. Jesus seems to be saying, don't worry about that aspect. I'll take care of all. I'll be in charge of what sprouts and what doesn't. You just fling the seed. And that leads me directly to this very hour, the series that we're starting today, this Sunday, in Bible class about spiritual conversations. We've been kind of building up to this for a while. The idea behind this spiritual conversation stuff we'll be doing is really this very thing. It's really about flinging seeds. It's not a nice, neat package whereby you're going to learn, well, if you do this and you add that, you're going to get so many people to come to church or so many people converted to Christianity. No, it's simply encouragement to envision ourselves sowing seeds one conversation at a time, wherever we happen to find ourselves, with whoever we happen to find ourselves with. Conversations that may be 10 seconds or 10 hours, doesn't matter. Our Bible class series will not tell you like exactly what questions to ask or a script of what to follow or, you know, trying to convert someone to be a believer just right then and there. I mean, there's a place for that kind of thing. But this is just encouragement and feeling a little more prepared, a little less reluctant to talk about faith matters, a little bit more ready to simply fling the seed. What grows up from it, that's up to God. So I hope you will take a little extra time, maybe make a little extra commitment to be part of these classes during March, and it'd be helpful if you would even indicate that on the blue Connect card so we can prepare materials and such. But we know that any of this, you know, our spiritual conversations, just talking to somebody about faith matters, we'll get a whole wide range of responses. That's really a given, isn't it? But that's okay. That's okay. In fact, Jesus says to expect it. Sometimes the seed sprouts and just as quickly fades away. Some never sprouts at all. But then others, without your even trying, some will bear fruit, fruit that will last. We've all been misunderstood. You've been misunderstood at times in life, even when it comes to matters of faith. Jesus was misunderstood a lot, but that did not stop him. That didn't stop him from sowing seed recklessly, extravagantly. And so let's not let it stop us either. As you're able to, then I invite you to stand right now as we pray God to forgive us where we shy away from risks, and then to give us boldness for his kingdom. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, you have sown seeds of faith into our hearts. And for that, we give you all the glory and honor. For our part, we know that we haven't always borne the fruit that you rightfully expect from our faith. Sometimes your word just bounces right off of us. Other times it causes our faith to blossom, but then we sputter out once more, with the result that we can sometimes be hesitant, even reluctant, to talk about you outside of these walls. Forgive us, Lord. Plow and till the soil of our hearts as only you can. At times, your plowing, your digging can seem harsh, even painful, but we want you to do whatever's necessary for us to produce a harvest for your sake, and then may we in turn also sow more seeds of faith among others through simple conversations using the same model, not planning the outcome, because we don't have any control over that, but planning the sowing, sowing with abandon, recklessly, extravagantly, wherever you send us. All this we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.